Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is Eric, the Quantum Ranger, and you're listening to From the Command Center. Q-Rex, arise!
Could you please tell me, where do you get your spandex?
That is not spandex! The material is a self-assembling nano!
A computer virus has built armies of robotic soldiers and taken control of our world. But there is still one place we can be safe. The domed city of Corinth. And the only hope we have left is...
Welcome to a collaboration between the Geekcast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 20. I'm your host, TFG1 Mike, and joining me as always from PCN is Scotty Cash. Hello.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Same old, just a different day. Kind of happy that the holidays are over, although I've been dealing with sick children for the past 2 weeks on top of myself being sick, so I just can't catch a break.
That's not cool.
No, it's exhausting.
Yes. But yeah, the holidays are over. We are going to be doing this episode, releasing it in January, and we'll also be getting around to doing Samurai in February. After February, Command Center is the podcast is going to go on a hiatus until August. You guys have heard me mention before that I have a plan.
There's two samurais. There's Samurai and Super Samurai.
It's going to be one episode. That's it. It's one series. I don't care what
How
Netflix...
How many episodes are there?
Huh?
How many episodes are there?
Between the two of them, I think it's 40 or something.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think. Let me look on Netflix really quick. No, the Samurai episode is going to be one episode. It's not, you know, it's not our fault that Nickelodeon and Saban wanted to split them up into two different seasons, and then Netflix made it to be two different. Okay, according to Netflix, episodes 1 through 20, it's the origins through the Ultimate Duel. And then Super Samurai, again, according to Netflix, is episodes 1 through 20. Super Samurai is the beginning and Samurai Forever is the ending. So there's only 40 episodes.
Huh. Okay.
I know there was a Christmas special on Netflix somewhere or something or other. I don't know if we'll honestly cover that because usually Christmas specials and anything kind of suck. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, no, it's going to be this episode, and then episode 21 will be the overall Samurai episode. And then we're going to go on hiatus until August. And in August, we're going to come back with commentaries. And that should be very, very, very interesting and fun to see, to relive, because I have a whole plan for, at least for the Mighty Morphin stuff, to line up. There's going to be a point where From the Command Center is going to, at least for a week, will go daily. Because everybody knows that you and I are huge Tommy fans. We are commentating on Green with Evil parts 1 through 5. So it will be daily for at least a week.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. And the commentaries might take us 2 years. We don't know yet because... as I've said before, I am not going to watch Megaforce as it airs in order to do a recap episode like what we've been doing with these episodes. I'm going to wait until it hits Netflix. Whenever Megaforce hits Netflix, that's when we'll cover it. So essentially, we're going back to the beginning on it. But had a comment on GeekCastRadio.com's episode 19 post for from Chaotix. Fantastic episode, guys. I couldn't agree more with your thoughts on Jungle Fury. It is one of my personal favorite seasons, and I love it to death. Funnily enough, its toy line has also rekindled my Power Rangers toy collecting addiction, so you could say that 2008 was one of my favorite years to be a PR fan. Fun fact, Scotty is right in saying that Jungle Fury was to be PR's last season at a point, but the actual reason for RPM happening was because Jetix UK, basically the United Kingdom division of Disney's Action Channel at the time, offered to fund another season. This convinced Disney to reconsider and give the show one last shot. It was also originally bound for Disney's then new action network, Disney XD. But then they just randomly changed their minds and threw it on their ABC Kids block at 11 a.m. on a Saturday. Needless to say, ratings were not amazing, and they basically just saved the show from cancellation, only to throw it back to the wolves with a poor time slot. That's why barely any of the target audience were even aware of RPM, and that's a real pity, considering how amazing it was. After that, the rest of the rest is history. Disney reverted to showing Adam Westified MMPR episodes in that same horrible time slot until Saban came along in 2010 and rebought the franchise. Mike's Yoda parallel for RJ is absolutely dead on. He might seem a bit odd at first, but he's a powerful warrior deep down, also a very funny one. You could seriously fill a book with all of the awesome things that RJ has said. Oh boy, you and Chaotic are going to end up going to blows, because I know you don't like RJ's voice.
Yeah, RJ's character is awesome. It was only some of the times when he did the stupid voice.
Yeah. To clear things up, Scorch, Snapper, and Weiger are the only Phantom Beast generals that were released from the Crystal Eyes. The rest were taken away by the archaeologist chick after the specific lunar alignment that they needed to be exposed to in order to release them had passed. The other monsters summoned by them were their lower-ranked Phantom Beast warriors, which each general commands several of. Each general's warriors were most likely sealed in the same eye that held their respective master. The remaining unreleased eyes held only generals, hence why Scorch, Snapper, and Weiger were the only ones to took command out of the released monsters. Hope that rectified some confusion. That's all I've got for this month. Looking forward to your thoughts on RPM. This is another one of my absolute favorites, and I hope that Scotty warms up to it by season's end. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, keep up the mega work. Yep, with New Year comes new season, and I'm already making references. Here's hoping it's better than Samurai.
It's going to be better than Samurai. Got to be better than Samurai.
Yeah. P.S., you forgot to read my Jungle Fury at the end. No, we didn't. I went back, because I remember copying and pasting that out, and I remember us talking about your Jungle Fury thoughts last episode.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
RPM, it's the 17th installment, and it was, released, it was also the original Power Rangers series produced by Disney before the franchise. Okay. When was this? This was
2009.
It was, taken from the Super Sentai series Engine Sentai Go-Onger. With the rebranding of Jetix and Disney XD, the Power Rangers shows were dropped from the channel in the United States, and RPM was only broadcast during the ABC Kids block, which is what we already stated. I totally, again, thought, just like I felt like Jungle Fury was going to be a huge joke, I felt that RPM, because I had never watched RPM. Mm-hmm. Like I said last time, I watched like the first two episodes of Jungle Fury, and I'm like, eh, forget it. Same thing with RPM. I didn't even catch RPM. I saw the commercials, and I'm like, nah, not really. Going back and watching it again, holy crap. Where's Sylvester Stallone when you really need him? Seriously, I mean, RPM and Judge Dredd, it's pretty much the same damn thing. Because you got five Rangers, you've got a Dome City of Corinth, and in Judge Dredd you have the Cursed Earth and Mega City 1, Mega City 2, Mega City 3. It's pretty much, they pretty much stole the idea from Judge Dredd for the American version.
So did you like it or didn't like it?
When I first heard about it, I wasn't too thrilled at all.
Okay.
But going back and watching it on Netflix, I absolutely love it. I thought it was great because it's the first Power Ranger series where you don't have a villain that constantly screws up the plans every single episode because of the fact that the Vengix virus had already taken over the world. It had already destroyed the world at the time. Yes, the Vengix virus, as fighting the Power Rangers, of course, you know, episode by episode, it failed. But when it all was boiled down to, it had already taken over the world. So I like that whole aspect of it. I thought that was great. I thought that was a unique way of telling the story. What about you? What are your thoughts?
It's all right. I mean, They could have cut the season in half. They didn't need to do 32 episodes because it seemed like there was a lot of episodes that were just lost within other episodes. It's like, you know, what the hell's even going on? Like, what episode am I watching? It was just like, it kind of felt like the same thing every episode, unless they were in the middle of a story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know. There's a couple things that I also didn't like, Scott was not the leader. I don't care what anybody says. Dylan was the leader, and that's kind of goofy to me. The Red Ranger is always supposed to be the leader. Granted, the White Ranger was the leader, in MMPR season 2, but that was only because of Fandaman. There was no Fandaman here because nobody even knew who Dylan was when he first started. So there was no real reason why Scott shouldn't have led that team. I mean, obviously, Red's the leader, and he was the leader, but it just seemed like more times than not, Dylan's like, let's do this and this, and everybody's like, yeah, let's go. It just felt to me that the Dylan was the leader.
I can kind of see that, but I can also see it from Scott's point of view because Scott's backstory, he was in the military with his father and his brother, and he was raised that way, and then he went on to lead his own team with RPM. And Dylan only becomes the leader when he actually becomes the leader when he joins up with the team. But I didn't see Dylan as the leader at all, really, because he's pretty much, pardon the pun, he's a lone wolf because he doesn't play by the team rules. Like, Scott always wants there to be rules, and you have to follow this, you have to follow that, and Dylan's just kind of like, F that, I ain't doing that, I'm going over here and doing this.
Yeah, but they would always follow him. Scott would not follow him, but it just seems like Flynn and Summer would always be like, yeah, we're going, yeah, let's go.
Well, that's because Dylan, the way that his story was written was that his plans and his actions, for the most part, made the most sense for them to follow. So, whereas Scott was more hung up on, oh, I'm the leader, look at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a number, I will say that there were a number of episodes, I think it's from episode 21 to 24, where I fast-forwarded through them. Like, I would watch, like, the first 5 minutes, and then I would skip 10 minutes. And then I would, you know, watch the end of it, where those episodes were they were four or five one-offs, and I just didn't care for them. They added nothing to the actual story at all.
I felt like there was a lot of episodes like that just, there was just really, I mean, they just had the characters in there to continue, you know, to have an extra week of shows. And it just kind of dragged. I was so glad that the season was over when it was over. The last like maybe 10 episodes, those were actually really good. They did a really good job on wrapping up the series. I did care about the characters. good guys and bad guys, but this has got to be the worst season where I actually cared. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I really liked about the season, but it's so weird because I won't watch it again. And before I forget, do you remember, I believe Ziggy was telling a story about it, but he was talking about how when he worked for the mob and they were collecting money or whatever. Yeah. Did you see where they came out of? One of the buildings was the Jungle Karma Pizza.
Oh, no, I missed it.
Yep. I can't remember what episode it was. It was early, but I want to say it was like the fourth or fifth episode, but Ziggy was talking about how he worked for the mob and how he was collecting money, and it showed him and a couple of guys like walking out of this pizza place, like counting money, and it showed a Jungle Karma Pizza place, like sign on the port, you know, like where they walk out of. And I'm thinking, so the Power Rangers need protection in the future, or did RJ like sell the business or what?
It's probably episode 4, Go for Green. That's one thing I liked about this season. The first 11 episodes of the series, they all, obviously the first episode is, you know, the introduction to the series and figuring out what the hell happened and why the Earth is destroyed and everything else. The episode 2 and 3 are kind of like Dylan's episodes, and then you have episode 4, which is the Green Ranger, episode 6, it's two different Green Rangers. Yeah, it's probably episode 6 that you're thinking of, that he tells the story, because there's two different Green Rangers.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ranger episodes, because episode 4 is where he's looking for the Green Ranger, and then obviously Ranger Green is his... I like that they did the spotlight episodes on each character. I thought that was great. I thought that was a very interesting way to do it.
Yeah, they didn't mess around. They had all 4 episodes, all 5 Rangers by the 4th episode.
Yeah.
And I believe it was episode 6.
Yeah.
It was episode 6, because I'm looking here at my notes, and it was episode 6. 6.
Yeah.
But you'll have to go back and watch it so you could see it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll have to check that out. All right, so since you mentioned the characters, let's start with the Red Ranger. He, a year prior to the present day, Scott and his older brother Marcus, codenamed Eagle 2 and Eagle 1 respectively, were pilots in the Air Force's Eagle Squadron. Scott found himself often in his brother's shadow as his father, Colonel Mason Truman, was both overprotective of Scott and put more faith in the older son. Both brothers fought in the original battle against Venjik's forces to secure Corinth when Marcus was killed when his fighter jet was shot down. Scott was chosen to be the Ranger Operator Series Red. What do you think of Scott?
I liked Scott.
Yeah, I liked him too.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I really did care about all the characters. Yeah. I mean, I was a fan. I was even a fan of Dr. K, and I really enjoyed everything, and it should have brought everything together, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just something's just missing for me. I just don't care.
I think the two that have the most character, like as far as growth and as far as seeing where they came from to where they are, is Summer and Ziggy. But let's talk about Flynn first. Flynn's interesting. I don't think we've ever had a Scottish Ranger before.
Nope, and I liked it.
I liked it too. I thought it was kind of cool.
I liked how he was a hero, how when he jumped on the bus or whatever to go back and get all the kids.
Yeah.
Or the people, I should say, not kids.
Yeah. That was awesome. Summer was a rich and spoiled heiress, and then she had to obviously learn how to survive when she got stranded out in the cursed earth. So I like Summer. I think she's a good Yellow Ranger. What did you think of Summer?
She was hot.
Yeah.
That always helps.
Yes, that always helps.
No, she did good, you know.
Yeah. No, she was. Yeah, she was awesome. Ziggy Grover. Oh, God, now I have to put a picture of Super Grover in the post. Ziggy Grover. Ziggy was the former and incompetent member of the Fresno Bob's Scorpion Cartel, but angered all the cartels in the act of kindness. Ziggy is... Now, see, I thought this happened... I thought this was the character that was going to be in Jungle Fury, because somebody had mentioned to me a while ago, oh, they even pointed out, why do I have that? See that? That explosion back there. Ziggy's the character that pointed out the explosions, and hence why we have the explanation of the fact that the explosions are residual energy from the morphing sequence. So I kind of like that. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it was. No, that was actually awesome, because he at one time he asks Dr. K, and he's like, how come when I do that morphing thing, it blows up? And then there was even a time where he used it to his advantage, because all the Rangers are kind of looking at him like, why is he morphing at us? And he was like, you know, and he morphed, and the bots were in the background, and he blew up the bots.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I loved that. I'm glad they didn't do it all the time, but it was very entertaining. That was a very good episode where she was like, do you guys have any questions? And he was like, you know, well, what about this and what about that? That was a really good episode.
Yeah.
Ziggy's by far my favorite character.
Yeah, I like Ziggy and Dylan the best out of the Rangers.
At first, when I first seen it, Ziggy kind of reminded me of the old school Billy, where he kind of just bounced around and just kind of ducked and, you know, just kind of like fumbled through the fights. But, you know, Ziggy's character grew as a fighter, but his comedy is my kind of comedy. I loved some of the comedy that he was doing. I would much prefer a Ziggy comedy over Pie in the Face, Bulk and Skull every episode.
Yeah.
That gets old to me. That's not funny at all. And Ziggy's smart-ass comments and facial expressions and stuff like that is what cracks me up. So I was definitely a Ziggy guy.
Yeah. Dylan is the fifth and final Ranger. Well, fifth and final until the other. We'll get to that in a minute. Dylan is the Black Ranger. He is the strong, silent type. He is essentially the Tommy for this series. And what I mean by that is the way that his story is and how he is essentially Vengix programming, or he's got Vengix parts in him and stuff like that. So it's a takeoff on a Tommy Oliver type of story. I'm sorry. One thing about the Dylan storyline, it was so predictable. As soon as I saw Tenaya 7, I'm like, yeah, that's his sister. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
But I like Dylan. What about you?
Yeah, he was a good character. Yep.
The only Rangers I cannot stand are Jem and Gemma.
You talking about the Wonder Twins?
Yeah.
That's who they are, is the Wonder Twins from DC. From
Super Friends, yeah. Now, what I don't get about this is that they are fraternal twins. Now, I know that identical twins can finish each other's sentences, but I didn't think fraternal twins could.
Nobody should be able to finish each other's sentences. That's retarded.
Yeah, that's the most annoying thing about them, is that they finish each other's sentences, and it's just...
They're like Tomox and Zamot from G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe, yeah. What I did like about them, though, is we finally have a Gold and Silver Ranger in one series.
Yeah, I liked them. You know, I mean, they were by far the worst Rangers, but, I mean, again, I liked all the Rangers, so that's not saying much, but I did like how they didn't really... I don't know. They didn't really. They were like rebels, but not on purpose. They're just like, look, we're going to do whatever the hell we want. But not because we don't listen. It's just because we're idiots. So they were just kind of like, they didn't listen. They just always wanted to fight. Let's just do this. Let's just do that. But I thought it was. I liked them.
Yeah. And then for allies, you have Dr. K, the Ranger's mentor who created their technology and also the Vengix technology. She is extremely sensitive about the Ranger suits, and gets hostile if someone calls them or even refers to the suits as spandex.
That was always funny.
That was so funny. She is a genius and also musically inclined, using the violin and keyboard when working and even using them in conjunction with some of her equipment. Although her identity was initially obscured by her speaking through a computer screen and distorting her voice, the Rangers referred to Kay as he. The Rangers later learned that she is actually a young woman. It is revealed throughout the series that she was the creator of the Vengix virus when she was abducted by the Alphabet Soup government think tank. I'm sorry, that's the worst name ever. Alphabet Soup, seriously?
Yep.
That's just so bad. What did you think of Dr. K?
She did good. She was a good character. She played a good character the entire time, you know. And I'm actually glad that she didn't have a lot of development, because I didn't want to see somebody that was so sheltered just all of a sudden be this blooming flower at the very end of the series that was just like talkative, and she was funny and outgoing, and they stayed true with her character the whole time, being kind of quiet, and, or maybe not quiet, but just real dim.
Yeah. Other characters we've got Colonel Mason Truman, who is Scott's father. He's also the leader, technically, of the city, of the city's military. You got Corporal Hicks, who is Colonel Truman's aide-de-camp. You've got Vasquez, a female officer working with Colonel Truman. At the end of the season, it was revealed that she was a hybrid infected with Vengix technology. Her name is a reference to Jeanette Goldstein's character in the 1986 film Aliens, portrayed by Mia Koning. And then you got Benny, who is a friend of Ziggy's from his Scorpion Cartel days, for the other allies. The main villain... the villains of RPM are led by the sentient computer virus Vengix, who uses humanoid generals in Tenaya 7 to take over the world and attack the city of Corinth. What did you think of the whole, it's a computer virus running the show thing?
I actually really liked it, because it was just something completely different. Yeah. It wasn't just some villain trying to take over the world. It was a virus that's pretty much gone bad, created by the good people.
Yeah.
And now the good people that created the virus are trying to take out this virus. So it was definitely different, which was overall good.
It was very, very, very cool. And then the other minor villains of the series, you've got the cartels, which they're essentially mob people. I mean, there's nothing really to them.
It just makes me want to roll my eyes.
Yeah,
they were. I guess you kind of needed them for different storylines, but they were just like, I would just be like, "Yeah, shut up, go sit down. I don't care about you." They'd be like, "Oh, we're the mob." I'd be like, "It doesn't matter. We live in a dome. I'll shoot you."
Yeah.
I'm not scared of you. You have like three henchmen.
And the Alphabet Soup government think tank, they abducted Dr. King and other child prodigies such as Jem and Gemma to work on secret complex scientific projects. I'm sorry, I don't see Alphabet Soup as a villain in this. Okay, yes, they are bad people, but like when I think of villains, I think of someone like...
Well, they're still villains because they're the people that made her create the virus.
Well, no. Yes, I agree with that. Yes, and that's fine. But like when I think of like villains in Power Rangers, I think of Ecliptor. I think of Darkonda. I think of Goldar. I think of like...
Yeah, we don't really know what Alphabet Soup was going to use the virus for, so who knows why. I mean, they're definitely not good people, but I guess you wouldn't consider them villains.
No, not really. All right, getting into the arsenal. You've got the engine cells, the power chips that plug into both the Rangers' weapons to power them and the Zords to enlarge them. What did you think of the engine cells?
I think I did like them. I mean, okay. I wasn't blown away by them, but I liked their morphers. I liked how they wore them. I liked how they had to like put them together pretty much like a key in order to morph. I didn't mind that at all. I liked how they used their morphers and their Zords. I don't want to get too far ahead here, but
right.
But overall the morphers were cool. I could have done without the morphers, the black and green morphers. They were just a little too much. They were a little too big. But
yeah, Yeah, the cell shift morpher, it almost reminds me of Zeo's morphers a little bit. The ones that the red, blue, and yellow ranger use.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned it's kind of like keys. It almost reminds me of...
The Zeomorphers are what you hit together. You're not really hitting these together.
I'm thinking of Dino Thunder. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking of Tommy's Dino Thunder Morpher. That's what I'm thinking of. The Rev Morpher, which is the wrist-worn device modeled after a gear shifter that Rangers Green and Black use to morph. They must also use insert green decaled silver engine cells. I like the Rev Morpher. They're all right. The Sky Shift Morpher, the gun-like Morpher.
Lame.
That was lame.
Stupid.
Yeah, it was. The Nitro Blaster is the Ranger's sidearms powered by engine cells. They also have Nitro Sword mode. I liked it. I thought it was kind of cool. The Wheel Blasters, though, are lame.
Yep. And lame. I actually had that backwards. The Cell Shift Morpher, the Morphers I liked, because they're the cell phone Morphers that
red
and yellow used, but the Rev Morphers are the ones that I didn't really care about.
Yeah.
And I did like the episode that Ziggy was like trying to give out the green morpher, trying to find like a ranger for it. And
yeah, it's episode 4, Go for Green. Yeah.
He's
holding auditions.
Yeah, and he had to put it on himself so they wouldn't get it. I kind of like that, how that whole thing worked.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, no, you can't do that. You know, and they're like, look, you told me to protect it, dude. I was protecting it.
Yep.
So I like that. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
You've got the space-time manipulation. Each ranger, except for Gold and Silver, has the ability to manipulate electrons in their personal biosphere to bend space and time in unique ways, letting them perform powerful attacks. The burst attack was the Red Ranger attack. Time manipulation burst was Ranger Blue's. Energy blast was Ranger Yellow's. Teleportation was Ranger Green. Invincibility shield was Ranger Black. These are essentially civilian powers, but they use them in the Ranger suits. They work all right, I guess, but I don't think any of them outside of the invincibility shield really added anything.
Right.
Like the teleport one with Ziggy, that was just a joke.
Yeah.
Because half the time, you didn't know how to friggin' work the thing.
Which one I was entertained by, but, I mean, again, like, Blue can freeze time for 10 seconds. Why wouldn't you just use that all the time? You know, Red Ranger can channel energy from...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
His body for 3 seconds. You know, why wouldn't you just use it all the time?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense of why. I mean, I know it would just be just as easy as just calling out the Megazord and stomping on the bad guys. I understand it's just a TV show. I get that. But it's just like, I don't know. They just never, ever used it, like you said. You know, Black Ranger is the only one that actually used it. And
for a decent purpose.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
You got the RPM Enforcer, the combination of the Road Blaster and the Turbo Plasma Launchers. Which is also powered by engine cells. The RPM Enforcer, the cannon thing they have, again, throughout all of the series that we've covered, the cannons, to me, they're all... There's nothing unique about any of the cannons in the entire run of Power Rangers.
They suck. They're stupid.
It's just a... Not even a red herring. It's more of a MacGuffin to, oh, hey, we need to form this big cannon to fire at the little guy... So he'll become big, and then we can go get in our Megazords.
Yep.
I mean, that's really all the cannons are for.
They suck.
Yeah, they suck. Let's see. So you got the Road Blaster, combination of the Street Saber, Turbo Cannon, and Zip Charger powered by engine cells. It's essentially the red, yellow, and blue Rangers weapons put together. You get the turbo plasma launcher, a combination of the turbo axe and the rocket blaster powered by engine cells. You've got the turbo axe, rocket blaster, yeah. Sky Shift Blazer, Rangers Gold and Silver can each combine their cloud hatchet with their own morphers to form this weapon, which resembles a futuristic handgun powered by engine cells. By using a checker decaled white engine cell inside the Skyrev Megazord or the RPM Ultrazord, they can use that Megazord's final attack.
Hey, how big and stupid was the Blue Ranger's weapon?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Turbo Cannon!
It was ginormous. It was stupid. But I didn't mind the one you just talked about.
The Skyshift Blazer?
It kind of looked like a spaceship, but it was a gun.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. I would I go buy it? No. Don't be ridiculous. But I definitely don't mind it.
Yeah. And then you have Project Go Onger, also known as the Ground Outdoor Operational Network General Purpose Explorational Rover. Project Go Onger is the multi-terrain attack and surveillance vehicle which allows the Rangers to explore the wasteland outside of Corinth. It holds communications equipment, allowing the Rangers to keep in contact with Dr. K, and is also designed to allow the Rangers to use their arsenal well outside the operational range of the dome. I think it's cool that they referenced the Sentai. I thought that was neat.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's just a big giant SUV.
That's exactly what it is. It's a Winnebago.
It's a space Winnebago.
That's exactly. It's like the thing off of Spaceballs.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. You got the Rail Saber, a sword-like weapon which resembles a railroad crossing gate that can be used by any of the Rangers. Powered by two engine cells instead of one, making it more powerful than the Nitro Sword. And the Rail Blaster, the combination of the Nitro Blaster and the Rail Saber, powered by three engine cells, one in the Nitro Blaster and two in the Rail Saber. Some of these weapons are just like, really?
I mean,
they worked for what they were using them for, but, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Didn't really care for the weapons in RPM too much. So we've got the, moving on over to the Zords now. You've got the Eagle Racer, the Lion Hauler, the Bear Crawler, the Tail Spinner, the Wolf Cruiser, the Crocodile Carrier, Falcon Copter, Tiger Jet, Whale Zord, Paleo Zord, Road Attack Zord.
I love the Road Attack Zord. That was awesome.
Yeah, the Road Attack Zord was cool, but that's pretty much all the individuals. Which individual Zord did you like?
I liked the Paleo Max Megazord. I know that's not an individual Zord,
yeah.
But I liked how it was, how she made them, how she talked about them, like three different extinct, you know, animals, like a T-Rex, a mammoth, and what was the other one?
Let me see. Velmax, former Paleo Zords combined together. The mammoth serves as the main torso, T-Rex serves as the right leg, and the Tricera. It's essentially, it's referencing Dino Thunder. T-Rex, Tricera, and, and mammoth.
Okay. Yeah, well, I liked them. Yeah, that was definitely my favorite Zords. Usually don't like vehicle Zords. They didn't really resemble vehicle Zords throughout this, but I was a fan of all the Megazords.
Yeah.
Even the poopy gold and silver Zords.
Nah.
And a thing that, you know, me and you were talking about the other day on the phone, and, you know, after Spada's clip, and the Sentai version, all their vehicles were alive, like they talked. And that's why they have eyes and mouths, and throughout RPM, you could kind of like seem like looking around or whatever, you know, because in the Sentai version, and I think Spada actually doesn't even mention it, but they actually like talk and they're like their friends, and that's just, I'm so glad they didn't do that. I wouldn't have watched it. I might have refused to watch it.
Yeah, coming up here in a second, you'll hear Spada essentially tell us to avoid Go Onger at all possible.
Yeah.
Just don't even watch it. All right, so for the Megazords themselves, the main Megazords, you've got the High Octane Megazord.
Look, they all looked awesome. All the Zords looked damn awesome.
Yeah. The Valve Max, the Zenith Megazord, the Mach Megazord, the Skyrev Megazord, which is all different combinations of all the Zords. Paleo Max Megazord, like I said. I loved it, though. I love the RPM Ultra Zord. That's a toy I would buy if I was collecting Power Rangers stuff. That is awesome.
Is that where they just combined everything?
All 12, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm the complete opposite. I don't like that.
Normally I don't, but
it did look cool.
It looked really friggin' cool.
Like the on Samurai, they do it, and it's like it's almost so big that it doesn't even move. It just rolls. But it's just like it's almost too much. But anyway.
All right, so we're going to head over to Spada, and he's going to tell us about Goander, and we'll come back with some episode thoughts.
Hey, folks, I hope you are doing well. Today we are taking a look at Engine Sentai Goander. Now, this aired in Japan from February of 2008 to February of 2009 for a total of 50 episodes. This is a very strange series. If you're at all familiar with RPM, you know that the artificial intelligence took over the planet. Well, that didn't exactly happen here. You see, the engine souls, or the engine people, are from the machine world, which is another dimension where huge living machines called engines live. The Gaiarc, or the Gaiarc, it's really hard to know how that is actually pronounced. These are alien invaders who have entered our world from the machine world in order to pollute it. That's right, this entire series is based on pollution. The engines have come to Earth in order to stop this pollution invasion. Three young individuals who have a sense of justice were the only ones that the engines found compatible to fight alongside. Of course, because only three people in all of the planet are compatible. These three folks were given the power to transform into Goander to protect the world. There are two young men and a young lady. They are also joined by two other young men and a brother-sister team later on. The Rangers are also assisted by a little rabbit robot named Bumper, or Bumper here in the U.S. It's actually spelled B-O-O-M-P-E-R, pronounced Bumper. He's a cute little thing, but unfortunately he never shows up in the RPM show. He was actually a very good character. The Gaiarc clan, or the Gaiarc pirates, or the Gaiarc family, are made up of three different generals. There's the ground assault minister, Yogostein, the aerial assault minister, Kitanedes, and the aquatic assault minister, Kegaglesia. She is actually the only human actress to be portrayed on the villain side. Kageglesia was actually portrayed by Nao Okawa. She is a famous TV personality and Japanese actress. She was also an ex-idol, or AV idol, who was very popular in the early 2000s. Now, what is an AV idol? Well, porn. She was a porn actress, okay? This is actually a recurring theme in Sentai. Whenever there's a villain, oddly enough, they're most likely portrayed by someone who is currently in or was in porn. I guess you gotta start them young. If you were to ask me what the overall plot of the series is, you ever seen Captain Planet in the Planeteers? Take that. Wrap the Planeteers in brightly colored spandex and give them giant robots. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's really not a whole lot else to the show. Now, that's not saying that there's anything bad with the show. It just really doesn't go anywhere. Towards the end, though, they start to talk about friendship and the concept of being buddies and partners to fight evil. It gets very, very heavy-handed. And then all of a sudden, the big bad guy who is Jorgenstein's father, or the big black geared guy from RPM, shows up and all hell breaks loose and they gotta beat him. Very anticlimactic ending, which I won't get into. all the weapons, all the suits, all the enemies, they're all pretty much the same, save for Cagliostro, who was obviously a Japanese actress, so they had to replace her with an American actress for RPM. Now, this is one of those weird series where I've got to say the U.S. version is significantly better than the Japanese version. That's because there's a plot in the U.S. version. There's no plot here. Was there a plot in, I don't know, Captain Planet, as I said? Not really. So that's a big issue. All the Zords and everything were exactly the same, which I really do like. I really wish that RPM took the time to develop three more Rangers. That would have been cool. Didn't happen, but oh well. The other strange thing about this show is that there were not one, not two, but three different episodes with cross-dressing involved, where the male characters dressed as women. That's something you need to realize about Japan, and even England for that matter, is cross-dressing is seen as a high form of comedy. That's why you have so many gender-bending manga and anime, and you see it pop up in their television a lot, because they used to get British television. Not American, but British. So it was a high form of comedy. It's a high form of comedy in Britain. Look at Monty Python. Look at Hugh and Laurie. A lot of cross-dressing there. It's considered funny. I don't find it funny at all. In fact, it's just dumb. One last thing I forgot to mention is the Rangers all travel around in a Winnebago, for lack of a better term. They travel around in an RV and live in it. But the RV is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, which is, I think, a nod to Doctor Who. It's very, very strange, because you walk into the RV, and it's massive inside, but the outside is just the size of an RV. It's a little weird, but I like the idea or the concept of a mobile command center, quote-unquote. Overall, Go Andra was just weird. The series took a sharp turn into comedy, sacrificing a significant plot line for running gags, character exaggerations, cross-dressing. It tried to be much lighter and softer than the average Super Sentai title. For many, this came off as polarizing, and in the wake of Dark Story Heaven previous series, it didn't really resonate with fans. It didn't help that people weren't informed beforehand that the series was going to be a comedy. The included environmental message was also seen as practically preachy. Though it was mostly played for laughs at times, it just didn't come off right. That's not to say it wasn't bad. There are many moments that were generally funny, but it just missed the mark too many times for me to actually really recommend the series. If you're not a fan of Japanese media and media tropes, you're not going to get any of these jokes. The whole cross-dressing thing I keep coming back to, because here in the U.S., we're just not used to that. That's not a joke we get. There are also other tropes and jokes that were thrown in there that, if I told you, you wouldn't even understand them. It's just that weird. Yes, this series is supposed to be a comedy. I get that. But, to me, it's just not funny. And to most of the American audience, it isn't funny. So I'm going to have to say pass on this one. Go watch RPM. It's much, much better. But if you do like all those weird tropes and Japanese comedy, give it a look. This has been Spade of the Bolt Matrix. You can catch me on Twitter at www.twitter.com/BaltMatrix. You can catch me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BaltMatrixReviews. And you can even find me on YouTube's www.youtube.com/BaltMatrix. I have reviewed all of the figures from this Super Sentai and the High Octane Megazord, though I'm currently looking for the other Megazords. If anybody's got them, let me know. And I'll catch you guys next time, and let's go back to the command center.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet.
Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
So, any thoughts on Spada's Sentai clip there, Scotty?
I would agree with him, except for he said RPM's awesome. Oh, actually, he just said it's way better.
Yeah,
but if you took out about 10 of these episodes, this would be a good season. This would really be a good season. Like, there's just some of these episodes we don't need, and you could shorten some of these episodes a little bit. Like, yeah. Yellow, Ranger Yellow Part 1, Ranger Yellow Part 2, you could have made that one episode. Get real. I don't need to see all these flashbacks of you being stuck up. I get it. You already told me you were stuck up. You know what I mean?
Well, I think you needed to kind of see her journey, though, of learning, not, you know, of not becoming stuck up. And you needed to see her turn around. But there are episodes like...
Yeah, but you're not going to get that out of it. You're not going to see her growth in one episode. It didn't show clips throughout the entire season. It showed clips in one episode.
Right. Well, two episodes, but yeah.
Right.
The ones that I don't think we really need to have in here, the Dome Dolls and Action. There was one, I forget which one it is. It's behind the scenes of the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
You don't need that. I mean, that's as bad as a friggin' Movie Madness episode.
Yeah.
You know.
I didn't even watch that episode, by the way.
Like I said, I fast-forwarded 21 through 24. I didn't. 25 through 32 is really where it picks up.
Yep, I agree.
As I said before, I liked all of the individual stories telling you about each of the Rangers.
Yeah, and some of the individual stories were really good. Like, you know, Dr. K never wanting to say Ziggy's name because it come to find out she had a crush on him. That was her password that nobody could figure out. And when Summer figured out what it was, you know, she ended up saying it was like cornbread or something. Or like, I don't even remember what the heck the password was now. The password was Ziggy, but I remember what she said it was.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was? Mushrooms or something? I can't remember. It was something stupid.
Yeah, it was something stupid.
But, you know, but that was always funny. And then at the very end, she called him Ziggy, which kind of, like, made me smile. You know, and I'm just, you know, there's a lot of good stuff to the series.
Yeah.
Just, if we could have got rid of, like, 10 episodes, we'd be golden here.
Yep. And I like how everything at the end kind of gets wrapped up in a nice little bow, and you see that they're each going to go on with their lives. I like that.
Yep.
I like that, obviously, Dylan gets his sister back. I think that's great.
And the Morphers are there just in case.
Yeah, but I can't help but think they were angling for a second season on this one because... of what happens at the very end with the Morphers, where the red light blinks on all five of them, kind of meaning like, oh, did Vengix get into the did the Vengix virus get into the Morphers? So is the Vengix virus now on the Morphin grid? So I couldn't help but think that when I saw those flash.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, I think they did that for, you know, you use your imagination.
Right.
I kind of feel it wasn't for a season two. Because if, like, you know, like Chaotic said, that this was all over the damn place with the time changing, And that was another thing also back then, that a lot of people didn't have DVR and stuff, so you couldn't just set a recording. You didn't know when a brand new episode was going to be on. So you actually had to, like, you had to really follow JetX, or you had to really follow Disney XD, and you had to really pay attention to catch these episodes.
Yeah.
But it was hard to do, you know, especially when they take that break in the middle of a season.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't know when the hell it's going to come back on, and that's probably, yeah. I think I probably watched, like, maybe 10 episodes, 8 episodes the first time I watched it, maybe 9, 10 episodes, and I was just like, nah, it's too much. I can't handle it. But it ended up, I mean, I think I remember it being a little bit better this, I mean, it was better this time than I remember it being. I will say that. Definitely not going to say it's awesome or good by any means, and it's not in my top 10. But
if I was doing a top 20 of all the series, it would fall in my top 20 somewhere.
There's only 20 seasons.
Yeah, I did really enjoy RPM. I thought it was great storytelling. Yes, there are a number of episodes that you could essentially cut because they're just one-offs. But overall, this is one of the, like, this is the one that I put up. RPM is one that I would put up next to, like, Jungle Fury and Dino Thunder and In Space and Lost Galaxy.
Oh, you've been drinking.
Force and all that stuff, so.
You've been drinking.
No, I haven't been drinking.
You should drink, then. It's good for you.
No.
But, no, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it was that good. I mean, it's almost like they could have played the same fight clip every episode, and I wouldn't have known the difference. and I can't say that for all the seasons. You know what I mean? It just seemed like it was just like, oh, damn, here we go again. It's like they just had the fight clip on replay. But whatever. You liked it. I thought it was all right. You know, nothing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, no harm, no foul.
All right, so let's talk about the toys and stuff. What do you have any of the toys? Have you gotten any of the toys after seeing the series?
No, I haven't got any. I did look at getting the main Megazord. What is it called? High Octane Megazord, and I probably will still get it. I like the way it looks. I really do like the colors mix. I like how it goes together. I'm a big fan of bears in general, and the Yellow Ranger is a bear, so yeah. I kind of want to have that. But the Paleomax Megazord was you know, they released it. I did have that. I did a review on that. I don't have it anymore. But they also released three Rangers to go with those Zords. It was, they never did it in Sentai. Bandai of America did it just clearly for more sales. And they didn't actually sell very good, so the figures are pretty rare. They're not like crazy high dollar rare, but if you find them on eBay, they're going for about $15-$20 bucks a piece, and that's out of packaging. So they're, you know, for a Power Ranger action figure, that's kind of high. But I mean, they look awesome. So definitely, like, Google the images to those, because they were never in the series. They were never in the Sentai series. Our Bandai just clearly made them for more money. That's it, period. But, yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Very, very, very cool. So that's pretty much going to do it for us. I will say that RPM, like I said, I know you don't rank it as high as I do. And if I was going to rank it, like, say, in the top 20, it would probably fall somewhere around 13 or 14. I'm not saying it would be, like, in the top 10.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like it for the fact that it was something different, as we said. And I like it for the fact that you have okay, yes, Dylan is kind of a Tommy-like character. But as far as all the other Rangers, they are completely different almost from everyone else that we've seen to this point. Especially Flynn. Flynn and Ziggy are, I mean, yes, Ziggy, I guess if you're going to make a comparison for Ziggy, I guess Ziggy and Piggy from SPD, because Piggy was kind of like, oh, I'm a good guy. No, I'm a bad, you know.
So Ziggy was never a bad guy, though, because he even got kicked out of a bad guy's team for doing good guy stuff.
He did, yes. I'm not saying Piggy was an overall bad guy. Neither was Ziggy. I mean, Ziggy just failed at it miserably, right. So. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go to a quick commercial break. You're going to hear some ads from both PCN and GCRN, and we'll come back with final thoughts and a note from Chaotix, and we'll be back after this.
Hey guys, Dirt here. You know, every week a bunch of stuff happens in the toy industry. Some of it's really exciting. Some of it's a lot of fun and very interesting. Some of it's downright pathetic. But if you want to know what's going on in the toy world, then make sure you check out the News Desk every Saturday morning at thatnewtoysmell.com, part of the Pop Culture Network, where we're going to take a look at that wonderful world of toys, sometimes from a slightly skewed perspective. The News Desk, thatnewtoysmell.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on GeekCast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Get...
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
You can now hear the GeekCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear GeekCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter GeekCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code GeekCast Radio when you register.
It Figures, the toy and action figure show on itfigurespodcast.com every Wednesday, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Movie Week in Review is the GeekCast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
There you have it, folks. RPM is done, and of course, we have a note from Chaotix here about RPM. He says, RPM was absolutely fantastic. It's easily the second best PR season behind Space.
Drinking.
Disney really ended their run with a bang. The story is amazing. A post-apocalyptic story in PR. Believe it. The characters are some of the strongest ever. One of them is Scottish. How cool is that? The humor is great. They even make fun of the constant explosions in PR and RPM's absolutely ridiculous Zord designs. And completely ignored the more humorous Sentai it was based on. Heck, this season used the least Sentai footage out of any other season. This would have been an amazing ending for the franchise if Saban hadn't bought it back. I agree with him. I don't know about I would put this next. I don't know if I would align this with Space, and I mean I know that's his preference, but I don't know. We are most definitely once we finish the Samurai episode next month in February. I think honestly in March we're going to do our top 20 favorite seasons.
We could do that,
and we'll each write down an independent list of each other, and we'll just count them down. So it'll be like episode 22. Will be a countdown of our favorite seasons.
Awesome.
So,
I said awesome.
Yeah. So we will do that. Any final thoughts you want to say before I close it out?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com or popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at Pop Culture Network. Go to jointheforums.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Last time I checked, we didn't have new reviews, but it might change between now and February. Follow us on Twitter. Mine is TFGMike. You can also follow at PopCultureNet. and at Geekcast Radio. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also search popculturenetwork.com on Facebook. You can find PCN on YouTube, where the award-winning From the Command Center video series is. What do you got going on over with the video series over there?
I'm not even sure, man. I'm still out of Power Ranger toys. I mean, I just did 2 Megaforce episodes, but yeah. I'll pick up another Megaforce toy to do the next episode on, but I just don't have anything else.
Cool. You can find their channel over at youtube.com/popculturenetwork. Call the voicemail line, tell us the show you're leaving the message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. There's a 5-minute time limit. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center, and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the Power Rangers talk with Power Rangers Samurai.
Poopy.
I'm so not looking forward to this. For now, I am DF2 Michael with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Let the power protect you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.